Amen. What a beautiful song that is. Emmanuel, God with us. Not only think about Thanksgiving, but it begins to prepare our hearts for the coming day that we celebrate the birth of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 8. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. Let me just say this on the onset. We do want to, if I could have a little bit more monitor, please. I appreciate that. If we could for all those that are visiting with us here today, we do want to invite you to our Thanksgiving dinner to follow right after the service. And then following that is the auction. And all the proceeds from the auction goes towards a good cause that goes to the Women's Missionary Fellowship. And they give those gifts to missionary wives all across the whole world. But listen, as much as we like for you to stay for that, you don't have to feel obligated to stay. We love to have you just come and eat with us, amen? There's no cost. Don't worry about it if you didn't bring anything. We just want you to come and be a part of it. We want to sit down and truly have a fellowship with you. I've entitled the message this morning, Reason for Thanks. And as I thought about this thought of reason for thanks, I came across this great illustration. And it goes something like this. Two school teachers, haven't seen each other several years, have met at a convention, and they were hoping really to begin filling in on each other, where they've been over the last couple of years. And it's been a while since they visited together. So one teacher said, "I got married 2 years ago." "Oh, that's good," her friend said. "Well, not really," the first one said. "My husband is twice as old as I am." "Oh, that's bad," her friend replied. "Well, not really," she said, "because he's a millionaire several times over." She said, "Oh, that's good," her friend replied. "Well, not really," she said, "because he turned out to be mean. He doesn't give me any money whatsoever." "Oh, that's bad," her friend said. "Well, not really," she said. "He did build us a $1.7 million mansion." "Oh, that's good," her friend said. "Well, no, not really," she said. "It burned down last month." "Oh, that's bad," her friend replied. "Well, not really," she said. "He was in it when it burned down." So I don't know if she has some reason to be thankful or not. Praise the Lord. Maybe you find yourself somewhere in between all those reasons for thanks. Well, Thanksgiving week is finally here. You can tell it by the Christmas decorations at the mall. You can tell it by all the advertisements and emails I've been getting from this and this place and that sales place. You can hear it from the Christmas music that's coming over the airwaves that we hear. And if you were here at Hampton on Saturday, you could saw the Christmas parade. I don't think I ever have seen the Christmas parade as early as that one is, but I'm thankful for it, amen? And you can tell Christmas is on the way. And by the way, your children and grandchildren will bring home some school turkeys that they cut out of construction paper. Maybe they put their hand over a little something and traced it for the feathers, or maybe they actually glued on some feathers on a paper towel roll or something along that way. They'll bring home pilgrims that have funny bonnets and hats and big buckles on their shoes and a big buckle on their hats. And I think of this week as well. Our president this week would give his annual Thanksgiving proclamation, as it generally is done this time of year. And I thought about this. Our secular government that chokes every time that the word God is mentioned, except for this time of year. They'll give everyone a pass this time of year, and they'll suddenly encourage everyone to be thankful. See, Thanksgiving is a very unusual holiday because it combines God and government with our secular society, and it's considered perfectly acceptable for everyone, regardless of race, sex, or religion, to be thankful on at least this one day. See, Thanksgiving is not a natural attribute for you and I, and quite contrary to popular opinion, we're not born with any good tendencies inside of every one of us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse number 12, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So none of us are born really with a thankful heart, and Thanksgiving doesn't come out of an unregenerated heart. It's only when we have been born again. It's only after we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior that we can become generally appreciative to God and to man for all the blessings that God allows to come our way. You see, here's the truth of the matter is, giving of thanks is more than just bowing our head at dinner time and waffling off some prayer to a far distant God for the food He's given us to eat. It's also more than just a once-a-year event that's celebrated with family and friends and relatives and brothers and sisters in the Lord eating turkey and pumpkin pie. I like to define Thanksgiving this way. It is an attitude of heart and life that leaves us in humble gratitude before God and men. I don't know about you, but that's truly what our Thanksgiving ought to be. So this morning, we're going to look at Noah's sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to help us really to understand how to focus on this principle of thanksgiving. So if you found your place in Genesis chapter number 8 and you're able to do so, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read Genesis 8, excuse me, verses 20 through verse number 22. And the Bible says in Genesis 8, beginning in verse number 20, just a little background. The flood had taken place, the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And now the ark has come to rest, as we know, as Mount Ararat. And there, after a period of time, the door has finally been opened by the Lord. And notice what happened when they first came out in Genesis 8, beginning verse number 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I want to bring to you this message that I've entitled, Reasons for Thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts and knee before you this morning, Father, I do pray as we work through this passage, Father, you would help us to understand there are some reasons for thanks, Father, and there are some practical things that we ought to be doing, Father, because of the thankfulness we ought to have in our heart for what Christ has done. But, oh, Father, I pray you'll help people most of all to understand that we can't really have thankfulness in our heart till we've been born again and trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Father, if there be anyone here this morning that's never have done that, maybe, Father, you've been speaking to their heart for a little while now, and maybe they've just been invited for the very first time, or they just showed up at the doorstep today, and Father, they don't know Christ as their Savior. Oh, God, I pray that this might be the day they trust in Christ as their Savior, and Father, they can begin to have true thanksgiving and have true thankfulness in their heart for what you have done for them. So, Father, we ask that you would bless now all that we say and do according to your perfect will for the lives of these people that are here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, the place of thanksgiving in our lives. The place of thanksgiving in your lives. I don't know how it went, but maybe perhaps it might have went something like this. Maybe Mrs. Noah said to her husband during the flood, hey, honey, since we have never had a very place of our own, and since you and the boys have become pretty good builders and expert carpenters, what do you think you could build us a little house once we get out of this place? And after all those years of building, 120 years, no doubt Noah went to his three sons and said, he said, never. There's no way I'm ever going to enter into a building program again. Ever, ever, ever. I don't know if something like that happened. I don't know if that conversation ever took place, but I believe it could have. It could have taken place. But I do know this one thing. Just as soon as Noah and his family and his children and their wives left the ark, he did start another building program, but it wasn't for his dear wife. Notice in verse number 20 of Genesis chapter number 8, the Bible said, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. I believe that Noah was so overwhelmed with gratitude for the Lord's protection during the flood and deliverance from out of the flood, and he constructed something that which he could give God honor and glory and praise from it. Now, it wasn't the house that Mrs. Noah perhaps might have wanted him to build. The place for thanksgiving that he had in his life is very, very interesting to me, and I hope it is to you as well. So even though the flood was over, even though the lightning and the crashes and even though everything was done, Noah never turned his back on God. You know, oftentimes we're in a ship, so to speak, we're in a boat, so to speak, in the thunderstorms of this life. Man, we're down on our knees and we're begging God and crying out to God and asking God for deliverance, asking God for protection. But man, as soon as the thunder begins to settle down a little bit, as soon as the rain begins to soften, when that storm that we're in begins just to come slap stop on top of a mountain somewhere, guess what? Then we have a tendency to forget God and what he has done for us, giving us protection. But my friend, no. Noah and his family was not that way. See, Noah continued to put first things first, and the first thing that he did, besides building a house, he said he built an altar to the Lord. See, the procedure of worship that Noah and his family went through reflects the priority that we should be given to thanksgiving as well. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, we find this in the first part of that verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, thanksgiving ought to have first place in our hearts, and our actions are controlled by our attitude. So in other words, what we determine in our heart to be is what we actually do. So Noah determined to be thankful. So what did he do? He built an altar unto the Lord. We must be right on the inside before we can behave correctly on the outside. And I think too many times we have people in this world today that they know that they're not where they need to be. And they know if they would have to stand in judgment before God, they'd be found on the wanting side or on the lacking side. And listen, they try to clean up their act. They try to dress a little different and throw away the cigarettes and the alcohol and get rid of this and get rid of that. But I want you to understand, we must be right on the inside before we'll ever behave correctly on the outside. For thanksgiving to work its way into our daily living, that's what the goal ought to be. We ought to be determined to have thanksgiving as a daily part of our routine. And guess where it has to begin? In our hearts. You see, Jesus taught that same principle in his earthly ministry here when he was on the earth. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the Lord said these words, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart," the Bible said, the Lord says, "the mouth speaketh." So understand this morning, if you have goodness inside your heart, guess what's going to come out? Goodness. If you have evil inside your heart, guess what? Evil is going to come out. That's why it's so important for us to clean up the inside rather than the outside first. And I found this down through the years when a person really gets born again, trusting Christ as their personal Savior. There's generally not a problem with the outside. Oh, some things may linger around for a time or two, but I believe this, that the inside begins to manifest itself on the outside. And what's on the inside is going to come out. And for us to be thankful, it must involve self-discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to think about this thing of being thankful. I think we must heed the admonition of what Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, where he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So again, we find the Lord and Solomon and the writers of the Bible saying the same thing in different ways. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Don't allow evil thoughts and evil things into your heart. There's nothing easy about cultivating an appreciative attitude. You know, it takes work to be thankful. You know what? When our children were growing up, and yours as well, you know what? We had to teach them to be thankful. How'd we do that? Well, we smacked them back upside of the head. And they weren't thankful. No, we didn't. But we say, what do you say to a person? We try to teach them good manners and say thank you and please. And when someone did something for them, we taught them to say thank you. And if they didn't, then we might tap them upside the head. Listen, no, of course we didn't do that. Well, maybe we did. But the truth of the matter is, we taught them to be thankful, you know, in a good way. We didn't harm our children. And I believe this, is that we ought to teach our children to be thankful. We taught our children how to write thank you notes, and they hated doing that more than anything. So we simply would do this. You don't write a thank you note. We're taking this up, and we're going to give it back to them. Well, okay, we'll write a thank you note. No problem there. But you see, teaching them to be thankful, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. It's something we have to work on. But I believe this, as we humble ourselves and as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the sweet aroma of a grateful spirit will begin to reveal itself and in our lives, not only inwardly, but it will manifest itself outwardly. Well, not only should thanksgiving have first place in our attitudes, but notice this, thanksgiving should have first place in our actions. You know, as we have already mentioned before, if we're thankful in our hearts, we'll be thankful in our daily living. Think of the word thanksgiving. Someone defined it this way, thanks living. And again, a thankful spirit is always translated in actions. If you're thankful for something, it's going to cause you to do something else. First, our daily lives should display gratitude. James puts it this way in the 17th verse of the first chapter of that New Testament book. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we should be determined by the grace of God to always show our appreciations for the blessings that He gives us. You say, well, I didn't know He blessed me. My mother did something for me. My friend did something for me. My boss did something for me. No, understand this. According to James 1 and verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God used those people to be a blessing to you. But the ultimate thanks should be to God, not only with the boss that provided that. We should be determined by the grace of God to always show our appreciations for every blessing that comes our way. Our daily lives should demonstrate our appreciation to those who are around us. Thanksgiving is not just a vertical principle. We often think that, oh yes, Pastor, I never forget God. I thank Him for everything. But understand, Thanksgiving has horizontal relationships as well. And when we're sincerely thankful in our vertical relationships to God, guess what? It's going to cause us to be thankful in our horizontal relationships as well. I think the two are kind of literally linked together. And when we sincerely thank God for His blessings, we're going to be thankful to those around us as well. And I encourage you to do this. We can never say thank you enough. I don't care how menial the task may be. I don't care how monumental the task may be. I think it's important that you and I show how gratitude we are and how thankful we are by just saying simply, thank you. Well, we should be have Thanksgiving should have first place in our attitude, should have first place in our actions, but to notice something else, it should have first place in our approach to God. You know, when we talk about approaching God, I think the first thing that comes to my mind, perhaps coming to your mind, is simply this, it's prayer. We talk about approaching God. Generally, we have this attitude of approaching God in prayer. You know, the Bible teaches us to come before God not only with prayer and supplications, but also the Bible says with thanksgiving. So when we talk about approaching God, it's more than just prayer and more than just supplication or a specific request. The Bible says, but also with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 69 in verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Nehemiah puts it this way in the 12th chapter in the 46th verse, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, they were chief of the singers, and get this now, and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. You see, we ought to have a time of prayer, approaching God, a time of supplication, but they ought to be done with thanksgiving because what God has so much done for us. But then notice something else. Prayer that's combined with praise and thanksgiving are found together in the Scriptures. In Philippians 4:6, we have that very famous verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then Paul, writing to that church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 4, says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 17, the Old Testament, links a time of worship and prayer with thanksgiving. And he says this, and he says, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, and the principal to begin thanksgiving in prayer. And I read that verse, and I said, well, what's this principle they were talking about? So I had to look it up to help understand the context of the verse. And in the context of this verse, the principal is the song leader. So now we have a new name for Brother John as he leads the music and worship here. We're going to call him the principal from now on, amen? So if we tell you to go see the principal, you know who we're talking about, John, the song leader. You see, the song leader began in thanksgiving in prayer. You know, I think we can all agree that Noah, what Noah did concerning approaching God was a Bible pattern. I believe Noah followed that. His prayers and giving of thanks came first, even before building his house, even before hunting down some food and making him a meal. He was quick to give God the glory for what God had done for him and his family all those days in the ark. And you and I need to learn to follow Noah's pattern of worship. The psalmist says in Psalm 95 in verse number 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 148. One of the last of the psalms, Psalms 148. The psalm I particularly like to read during this part of the year. In fact, we're just going to read Psalm 148. But Psalm 149 and Psalm 150 are all excellent in this area of praise and worship and thanksgiving. Look at the first couple of verses. This is a way to remind you to come back and look at this passage later on this week. Psalm 148, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord for the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And we could just go on down through verse number 14, over to chapter 149, over to chapter 150. I think you'll get this idea from these three psalms, as we ought to do what? Praise the Lord, amen. He expects that. That's his desire for us. Well, not only do we see the place of thanksgiving, but notice something else today, the purpose of thanksgiving. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what is the purpose of thanksgiving? Here it is. Write it down. Take it to the bank. The reason or the purpose for our thanksgiving to God is to glorify and honor him for all that he's done. The Bible says, in every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And then Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2 and verse 11, says this, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reason that we ought to be thankful is to bring God honor and glory. Notice the direction of our thanksgiving. The thankful life is one that moves us towards God and not away from God. If you're down a path of unthankfulness that's moving you away from God, guess what? You don't have thanksgiving in your heart. You're not thankful for what God has done for you. As a matter of fact, you're moving the opposite direction, away from God. Giving thanks is cooperating with God's purpose. Simply doing what he created you and I to do what? Bring him glory and honor. So let me ask you this morning, are you doing that? That's what we see here in the post-flood scene here in Genesis chapter number 8. Notice in verse 20 again, the Bible says, we speak about that altar being built. The Bible said that he built an altar unto the Lord. And by the way, Noah wasn't the first sacrifice and the first prayer that ever was given for thanks, nor is it ever going to be the last one. I'm reminded of Daniel and Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10, where the Bible says that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to the house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God as he did aforetime. See, even after that decree was made, anybody that didn't bow down to the idol was going to be killed. Daniel said, I don't care. I'm going to do what I needed to do. So I ask you this morning, what about you? Is the purpose of thanksgiving to glorify God in your life? And if it is, how are you doing in that? Could you call yourself a Noah? Could you look at your life and say, I desire to give God praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving. I am doing that, not for my own accolades, but because I want to honor him. And let me ask you, could you call yourself a Noah or a Daniel today? The direction of thanksgiving, but notice the distinction of thanksgiving. You know, the Bible doesn't specifically say that Noah gave thanks. But understand this, Noah did give to the Lord. The special thing about thanksgiving is the word giving in it. Thanks, than giving. So if you were to think about this, the thanks is rather insignificant without the giving. There's no really reason to give thanks if nothing's been given to you. So thanksgiving is simply giving something for something giving. It's giving something back for something that's received. It's giving honor to the one who honored us. It's blessing him who has blessed us. It's a reciprocal offering. You see, God did something for us. We're going to give him thanks because he gave back to us. If you think about it, Noah had a lot to be thankful for. But when I think about Noah's life, I think about what about you and I the more? How much more do you and I have to be thankful for? Well, we have the direction of thanksgiving, the distinction of thanksgiving. Notice, lastly, the delight of thanksgiving. You see, when Noah gave his offering as unto the Lord, notice what the Bible says in our text verses in Genesis chapter number 8. The Lord, it said, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. You know what a sweet savor is? That's all the smells that's coming from the room back there. That's what it is. That's a sweet savor. When you men woke up and your wife cooked the turkey or cooked the ham or made the pie or making the mashed potatoes and the stuffings and all the nachos and everything else that we have on Thanksgiving dinner. Understand this. That's a sweet savor. We could say in our vernacular today, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. It was pleasing to him. You see, God was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifices that he smelled on the altar. Of course, we know that that God was more pleased with the condition of Moses' heart than he really was with the smell that actually went up to his up to the sky to him. You see, thanksgiving is one of those few things that is said to please God. Not too many things in the Bible does it say that please God. Thanksgiving is one of them. He said to be pleased with the preaching of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Get this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He's also pleased with Jesus Christ in Colossians 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is pleased with faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And when we offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, God is well pleased, according to Hebrews 13, verses 15 through verse number 16. You see, the Lord delights in, the Lord takes pleasure in our offerings of thanksgiving. So then the question is back to you and I, simply is this. Have you and I been pleasing unto the Lord? Is he well pleased with us? If he is, then we ought to, it's because we are thankful to him for all that he's done for us. Well, not only do we see the place of thanksgiving in our lives, and secondly, we saw the purpose of thanksgiving, and that's to glorify God. Notice, lastly, the principles of the spiritual offering. The principles of the spiritual offering. In other words, some applications. How can we apply this to our life to ever be pleasing to God? You see, thank the Lord that we no longer have to build altars. I'm glad that I don't have to come here every Sunday and build an altar. I'm glad I don't have to have an altar back behind my house. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful, surely thankful, that I don't have to offer sacrifices or bring sacrifices because Lord knows I don't really like animals or pets, amen. So we're not sacrificing pets. They didn't in those days, but just the Lord knows. I'm thankful that we don't have to do that anymore today. But listen, we are commanded to do this, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service according to Romans 12 and verse number 1. I like what David wrote in Psalm 51 and verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God says, listen, I just want you to worship me. I just want you to magnify me. Come before me with humbleness in your heart and having your sins confessed. So I ask you today, what is it going to take for you to offer spiritual offerings, so to speak? I think it will take three things as a way of application. Number one, we're going to have a clean spirit. You see, Noah's thanksgiving were only acceptable to God because all the sacrifices were clean animals. Back in the Old Testament, there was clean animals that you could sacrifice to God. Then there was unclean animals, which God said that you cannot use for sacrifices. You see, God's not willing just to accept anything that you and I decide to offer him. A good illustration of this could be found in the story of the Pharisee and the publican, and we'll not take time to turn there in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. See, the Pharisee gave thanks, but his thanksgiving was hypocritical. His thanksgiving was self-exalting, and because of that, the Pharisee's offering was refused, but the publican or the tax collector's offerings were received by God. If our thanksgivings are to be truly acceptable to God, we must be clean with him and without. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, we must have a clean spirit. Then secondly, notice this, we must have complete surrender. You see, Noah's offerings were burnt upon the altar. And a burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, if you were to read that, you will find that every part of the sacrifice was to be offered and totally consumed upon the altar. And so the message for you and I today is simply this. We can't just half do anything in our surrender to God. God says, if you want to please me, I want your 100%. I want your mind, I want your body, I want your attitude, I want your actions. He said, I want you to have complete surrender to me and my will for your life. Anything less than that is unacceptable to God. You say, well, I thought I was doing okay. Well, as my friend in the Air Force used to say, that's what you get for thinking, amen. God's not pleased with your half surrender. He's thankful for what you do for him, but listen, he wants you to be totally surrendered to him. And we find that Noah burnt as sacrifices on the altar completely as God did. God expects that for you and I. A clean spirit, a complete surrender, then notice, then we'll be done. Notice a continual sacrifice. I'm sure you already noted that here in this passage of Scripture that Noah offered. Notice in the passage, it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, and offered burnt. Notice the next word, offerings, plural, on the altar. He didn't just offer one thing and was done. We find that he offered offerings unto the Lord. It's plural, suggests a lot of sacrifices were consumed on the altar that was offered to God in gratitude for what God had done for him. Think about it for just a moment. Him and his family and those animals that were on the ark and those that might have, the birds that might have been released already, were the only ones left after the great judgment of God. I mean, how thankful would you be? Would you offer just one turtle dove to God and say, oh, by the way, God, thank you for taking care of me? I believe that he offered again and again and again. I believe it just wasn't a passing moment of worship that Moses experienced. I think it probably lasted for hours, more than likely, maybe even days. And they spent in sacrifice to God for thanksgiving for what God had done for him. For this, we're reminded about our constant need to give God thanks. It's not to be just a one and done. You know, we get in that mode that, oh, okay, God, thank you. No, God expects our thankfulness to be continually from our heart. Remember that the fire on the altar and the temple and the tabernacle was to never go out, was to constantly be fueled. And the smoke of your and my grateful heart is to ascend before him forever and ever and ever. The psalmist puts it this way in the 34th Psalm. I will bless the Lord, get these next words, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't know about you, but as I said many times before, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the word all and continually means. It means all the time. It means forever and ever. It means our praises to him ought to be continually coming out of our mouth. In the morning, praise him. In the evening, praise him. Let us give him thanks. In times of blessings, praise him. In times of trials, let us give thanks. In private moments, praise him. In public gatherings, let us give thanks. You see, because of what Noah did, we can see the place of thanksgiving that we ought to have in our lives. We saw the purpose of thanksgiving, which is none other than to give God honor and glory. And lastly, we saw the application or the principles of a spiritual offering. And this morning, if you're here and you never have trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, never received His payment for your sin on Calvary, thank God that you can come to Him today and that you could be saved. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I have been saved. I trusted in Christ. Maybe you failed to live faithfully for Him as a Christian should. Maybe you haven't had praise continually upon your lips. Thank God that you can come here today to this old-fashioned altar and receive forgiveness and restoration. Whatever the need is, thank God that the Holy Spirit who convicts us will draw us unto the Father. Would you be willing to do what He's asking you to do today? Reasons for thanks. Father, we thank You for this passage that's very easily to be overlooked in Genesis chapter number 8, verses 20 through verse number 22. We probably read it over hundreds of times, Father, but this time You challenged my heart and spoke to my heart. Oh, Father, I pray that You'll help us to understand, Father, that we ought to continually give You praise and honor and glory for what we have done. Help us to see the place of thanksgiving, the purpose of thanksgiving, to give You glory and honor, and then the principles of thanksgiving, helping us to have a clean spirit, completely surrender ourselves to Him and have continual sacrifice of praise unto Thee. So, Lord, would You work in the hearts and minds of these people that are gathered here? Father, save those that need to be saved. Strengthen the Christian today as we look at this thought of reasons for thanks. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around this morning, let's stand to our